We're going to be looking at the subject of handling tribulation God's way. You know, it's one thing to handle tribulation. The world, of course, drowns out their emotions and the abuse of alcohol, all types of physical addictions to try to drown out the pain of adversity. Christians will oftentimes bypass God's will, come up with creative alternatives, which is another euphemism for just flat out disobedience to the Lord. But if you'll take the time to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 14, we're looking at an event that takes place during Paul's first missionary journey. And in the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 21, notice what the Word of God says. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, and the word taught there has the idea of literally making disciples, mathetes, making disciples in the instruction of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, not just decisions, but disciples. They taught many, and then they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Notice, confirming the souls of the disciples. And part of the discipleship process was learning how to handle adversity. That's a critical part in the Christian life, because the Word of God says all those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. And they confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now be careful. That's a small T, not a capital T. It's not speaking about the church going through the tribulation period. Some non-dispensationalists will oftentimes say, well, this is a proof text, you see. The church is going to go through the tribulation period. No, it's not going through the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not going through the rod that Ezekiel speaks of specifically for Israel to bring her to the point where she says, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But rather, that's a small t, which means adversity. Through much difficulty, we are going to go and then finally experience deliverance into the kingdom of our heavenly Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we work for our salvation. It's amazing how people will take a scripture and say, well, you see, you have to, through the tribulation of life, earn your salvation so that you can finally get into the kingdom of God. No, no. It's just simply saying that adversity is part of the Christian life. And adversity can be properly or improperly responded to. And I want us to look at four responses of the believer to tribulation as it comes our way. And these four responses ought to be our responses. Now, Pastor John, are you always successful in living out every one of these four responses? I'm here to tell you, no. There are times when I fail and I falter and catch myself. Sometimes Melody catches me too. And we need to build up one another and encourage one another. One of the blessings of marriage is that, as Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one. Sometimes when one is weak, the other can be lifted up and encouraged. And certainly a threefold cord is not quickly broken, because the Lord is part of that relationship as well. And He is with us. But first of all, the first characteristic, the first response of the believer to tribulation is that we are to be patient in tribulation. I don't know about you, but I'm from New York. Have you ever heard the phrase, a New York minute? Well, the problem is that sometimes we have the idea that we want it and we want it now and it should have happened yesterday. Trials and testings teach us to wait upon the Lord. Yet we want to be the king of our own timetable. We need to remember that God's delays are not his denials. But we need to learn the secret that is given to us, which is really no secret at all, because the Lord has given it to us in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Those who are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can glory in tribulation. We can glory in it because we look beyond the trial. See, our problem is that we have a tendency to focus on the trial. We focus on the inconvenience. We focus on the suffering. But we need to glory in tribulation because the Lord has part of a pruning process in our lives. And he's making us conform to the image of his Son, and he is producing the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. And we can glory, it says in verse 3, in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh or produces patience. And the word upomene means to bear up under, to be able to keep on doing the right thing, keep on serving the Lord, even though we may not immediately have external motivation. Of course, as a father of six boys, and all of you have had a slew of kids too, you know that when you're teaching your child how to walk, that first step is a big thing. Some of you raised your kids in pre-camcorder days. Remember when the camcorders first came out, Brother Ken? They were so big, and we filmed our Patch the Pirate ones and had the big ones on our shoulders and finally put them on stands. But now they got so small, and now you use your phone to do it. But we all have the old VHS, and in some cases, we all have the 8-millimeter cassettes. And now, some of you are really big time. You got the CDs. Well, soon, what's coming next? I don't know. I'm not a tech guru. But all of us have our children when they first began to walk. And when they walk, what they do is that you stand close to them and you have one or two steps and then they fall into your arms. But what do you do after a while? You step back three or four paces to encourage them to go further and to bear up under and to not quit and to go further next time. Some of you are doing a little bit of walking, I understand, and you're getting a little exercise in your community. And some of you take your cell phones and you time yourself and you go around the block. And then maybe the next two or three times you want to do it 10 seconds less. And you're bearing up under. You're walking faster. Maybe you're running between telephone poles now. From telephone pole to telephone pole. Then you walk one, run the other. And before long, you're bearing up under, you see. Well, the Bible tells us the Lord wants us to bear up under. Through trials and testings, keep on trusting him. This word was used of an underwater swimmer who would dive under the water and bear up under and get the distance past without having to come up gasping for air. Tribulation worketh patience. And notice, what does patience produce? Experience. One of the joys that I have of pastoring a church where we're a little further down the line is that I've been able to see not only the spiritual growth in your lives in the last 19 years, but I'm able to benefit from the wealth of experiences, as we're looking here, that the Lord has given to you, and you're able to be an encouragement to me. And I trust that as the Lord leads you on to other church ministries, that you will talk with the pastor and say, I'd like to know about opportunities where the older can teach the younger. and where we, who are further along in verses 3 and 4, that we can help encourage others in the Christian walk, you see. And then experience produces confident expectation, hope, that we know that God is going to see us through. And I frankly see that in so many of your lives when trials and testings come. A lot of people would put a modern vernacular, freak out. But yet there's an abiding depth of your faith in the Lord. And that did not come by accident, folks. You've learned to trust in Jesus, like the old chorus, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. And it's come through pain, folks. It hasn't come through comfort. Most of the growth that you've experienced in your life and the ability to trust the Lord is because you've gone through hard times. You don't see too many folks that have been through the Great Depression in our country, but it's always a great blessing to see the spiritual development. Hope maketh not ashamed. We'll never be ashamed for the trials that the Lord has brought us through, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. And the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, wants us to share the experiences that God has taught us. So be patient in tribulation. In the book of Romans chapter 12, just a little further in the book, it says that we are to rejoice in hope and we are to be patient in tribulation. And we are to continue, as we say a little bit later, instant in prayer. And certainly the book of Job is referenced, by the way, in the book of James. And many people consider Job to be an allegorical figure. No, he is a historical patriarch that is referenced in the New Testament. And with reference to patience, James says, take by example the prophets. And he says, consider Job. Behold, the patience of Job, we have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. And you remember the trials that Job went through? And yet, in spite of losing his possessions and his posterity, he still trusted in the Lord and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Where did that come from, folks? It came from long years of walking with the Lord. And yet he trusted. And the latter end of Job was blessed greater than the former, because tribulation works patience and the Lord is a rewarder. So we're to be patient in tribulation. And we need to remember that. We're also to be patient in another way. We're to be prayerful, prayerful in tribulation. When trials come your way, if we are not patient, if we are not prayerful, folks, you mark it down. I don't care how many times you go to church or what your pedigree is religiously, you're going to get bitter. I have known of men that served God for many years in Christian leadership. And when they had their expectations, Brother Dick was talking about expectations that oftentimes people have in Sunday school. And we have our expectations. And then when our expectations are not met, we can very often get bitter. It might be the passing of a loved one or something that we thought we might have in the latter years of our life that just doesn't work out. But we need to be patient, but we need to be prayerful as well. You know, the Lord spoke about entering into the prayer closet and the Lord would reward us openly. Remember that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15, the Bible talks about calling upon the Lord in the day of trouble. Now, that doesn't mean that we just go to the Lord when trouble comes and we never pray as we should until trouble comes, and then we run to the presence of the Lord. We're to be instant in prayer, but the Lord wants us to call upon Him in the day of trouble. And what does the Lord promise when we are prayerful in tribulation? He says this, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I don't know about your heart, but I'm expressing my commitment as a believer today, not even as a pastor, just a believer in Christ. I want to glorify the Lord through the tribulations that I go through. I don't want to be known as a complainer, a griper, but I want individuals to glorify the Lord through the trials that we may have to go through. And you remember, sometimes we need wisdom when we're going through trials. And James chapter 1 reminds us, if any man lack wisdom, well, wisdom in what? Well, the believers in the book of James were scattered about. They were diasporized all over Asia Minor, suffering for their faith, and they needed wisdom. Wisdom in understanding, wisdom in keeping from getting bitter, wisdom in seeing life from God's perspective. If any of you lack wisdom, it says, let him ask of God. That word ask is in the tense that speaks of the historical fact of putting it down and taking a special time. Lord, I am asking this for you. And I need to have wisdom. I can tell you from personal experience, on a timetable, there were times when I needed to make a decision. And I told the Lord in prayer, Lord, I need to make a decision by 3 o'clock this afternoon. I need to make a decision. And Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. But I am asking you, and at 3 o'clock, I'm going to make a decision, and I'm going to trust that the one that I make is the one that you want me to make, because I'm committing this to you. That is the idea of James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give it, you see. And he gives to all men liberally. This is the place where God is liberal. He gives to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. Boy, we use that term all the time, don't we? Upbraideth. Well, he doesn't hold back. He's not penurious when it comes to his children coming to him. I could just see little Annabelle coming up to Ken and saying, Grandpa, can I have an ice cream cone sometime this afternoon when we're riding around in the car? You know, I have a sneaking suspicion that Brother Ken will probably put that in his schedule somewhere. What do you think about that? He might even have one himself, of course. But you know, we have a good God. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
We have a good God. He delights in giving us good things. And we need to wait upon Him. And He gives to all men liberally. And it says here, it shall be given unto him. And if you have to make that decision at 3 o'clock and you've told the Lord that you need to, not out of a wild desire, but out of necessity, there are times when decisions must be made. We need to trust that God heard us and that he will give that wisdom. But the Bible says when we ask in faith, we need to believe that he's going to give that faith when we need it. And we need not waver. We should not waver, because wavering is like the wave of the sea going back and forth and back and forth. Lake Apopka is a lake many of you may not be familiar with. They're trying to clean it up. It's in West Orange County. And all of the muck farmers would throw fertilizer in the 50s. And early 60s into Lake Apopka, thoroughly polluted it. It was a beautiful lake that you could fish trout from and in the 30s, and it's been thoroughly polluted, and they're starting to clean it up with all of the ecological additives and the right type of plant life and things like that. But you know, sometimes I'll walk my dog around Lake Apopka and I'll look at the water's edge and you'll see suds. It almost looks like Dawn dishwashing soap suds. And I say, my, they got a long way to go yet. And you see that sometimes the water's kind of green. If anybody from West Orange County working with ecology hears this message, let it spur you on to keep on working there. But, you know, when we are tossed, we're driven like the sea and tossed, confusion. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So therefore, when trials and testings come our way, number one, we are to be patient in tribulation. We're to be prayerful in tribulation, as we've seen in our scriptures. But look at the third point. When trials and tribulation comes our way, our Lord wants us to be peaceful in tribulation. And this is an oxymoron that the world can never understand. How can you have peace in tribulation? You remember the old movie Flywheel? And in the old movie Flywheel, they spoke about peaceful anxiety. Remember that phrase? How many of you remember that? Has it been that long? I don't know how many years, Brother Dell, it's been that we showed Flywheel, probably 15 years. But we had a beautiful experience seeing the series and of several movies over time and presentations. But it talks about a peaceful anxiety. Yes, we have anxiety in the flesh, but you know what? There's that deep-seated, abiding peace. I guess the only way I know to describe it is that when a doctor's working on your arm and he gives you shots to deaden the nerves, and you could tell that he's working in there, but it doesn't mean that it's a lot of pain. But you can tell he's moving around and doing things in there. Well, we can have peace in the midst of the pains of tribulation. Let me show you a scripture that I'm referring to in the book of John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, notice in verse 27 what the Lord said in this particular scripture. He says, "Peace I leave with you." The Lord was going away, but he was not leaving us comfortless. He was leaving his peace. Can I ask you a question today? Do you have the Lord's peace with you? I know there are many in this room, if not all, you don't have all the answers about what the Lord's going to do in the next 3 or 4 months. But you know what? It's not necessary for you to know what the answers are. You can still have God's peace because you know that he is in control. Peace I leave with you. Then he says, my peace. You see, it's a specific peace that comes only from knowing the Lord, but submitting to the Lord so that his peace flows through you just as a sap flows through a branch that is abiding in the vine. It's his peace that flows through us. It can't be fabricated. It can't be manipulated. It can't be imitated. It is that which is produced by the Spirit of God, the Comforter. My peace I give unto you. And notice how he contrasts it. Not as the world giveth. And we can see very, very clearly that the world will never have the peace that we're describing of. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. John chapter 16 and verse 33 reminds us a chapter later. It says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." But where's our comfort? Where's our peace in the midst of the tribulation? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Believers are not exempt from suffering, but the believer has God's power and God's presence, and we are overcomers. 1 John speaks about that. If you have not read Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Overcomer, let me encourage you in the coming months to use that as a devotional book for your family. It is a good book, and I think it will be helpful for you. Philippians 4 continues in the vein of speaking of being peaceful in the midst of tribulation. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, nothing is left out. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I can tell you right now, I've had and experienced many occasions where I've had the peace of God, and I can't explain it. I've had the peace of God. It passes all understanding except God's, and yet He's able to grant it to us in spite of trials and testings. By the way, every time I preach a point, we're scoring one in heaven, and that's what you're hearing whenever I'm doing that. Now, take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Take a look at the difficulties that the Apostle Paul had as he went through trials and testings. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Notice it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in more labors more abundant, stripes above measure, prisons more frequent, deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. You think you've had a bad day? You think you've suffered for the Lord? How about reading Paul's experience? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robbers, my own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings, often in hunger and thirst. You know, in the flesh, you know what people would say? Well, he's out of the will of God. He's not walking with God, and God is showing him that he's not walking with the Lord. And it's amazing how the prosperity gospel has gone into even evangelical churches today. You know, when you realize that the majority of Bible-believing churches in the world are suffering, and the persecution that the average believer in the world, especially in pagan countries, the suffering that they have is daily. And we think that if we're close to God, that we're not going to suffer. But it goes on. Besides all those things that are without, the care of the church. And yet he found faith and trust to trust in the Lord. Let me give you a fourth principle. And that is our fourth response to tribulation is that we're to be positive in tribulation. I'm not talking about positive thinking, the Norman Vincent Peale positive thinking. I'm talking about the truth, not that is found within our own abilities, our own accomplishments, our own capacity, but rather we need to have a positive attitude, knowing that the Lord is in control, and He is the one that is going to work together. Someday we're going to understand why a lot of the unanswered questions have taken place in our lives. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. There are 3 scriptures I want you to look at with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 reminds us, we know that all things, that's how big God is. There's nothing that is going to cross your path that doesn't first pass through His permissive will. All things work together. The outcome is for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. One of the scriptures that I like to use is the second one that you have on the screen. I use it often in the hospital on visitation. And I would encourage you to use these scriptures and oftentimes even put them on cards and get well cards and things for believers that you want to encourage. But it says here, blessed be God. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, it says, the Father of mercies, and He's the God of all comfort. And He wants to comfort us in our tribulations. Why? So we can glory in and of ourselves? So that we can glory in our attainments and say how spiritual we are? No. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. My prayer for you in the coming years is that the Lord will use everything that you have gone through to be a ministry to others that are in need. May you be a conduit of His grace because you have experienced His deliverance, His comfort. And it says, with the very comfort wherewith we are comforted of God, the Lord will also grant unto us. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4 says, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And we can glorify the Lord. And we're going to have just a word of prayer. And what I'm going to ask us to do is to be able to just share a little bit of a testimony time about some of the lessons perhaps that God has brought us through. And you know, there may be someone that might say here tonight, you know what, I'm in the middle of it right now and I want you to pray for me because I need God's grace and God's strength and God's wisdom. And I'm going to do what you suggested, Pastor John. I'm going to ask of God and I'm going to trust for Him to provide just that. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this wonderful time that we can share together. Lord, we thank You that we are a community of Your people and that You, Lord, use the experiences that we go through to teach us and we can be of ministry to others with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. So, Lord, we pray that You'd bless these remaining minutes as we share together. In Jesus' name, amen.